Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Colin Stafford Johnson joins us in studio with some tips to make our outdoor spaces come alive with wildlife. How are you doing, Colin?
I'm doing very well, Ray. Thanks for having me along.
And it must be buzzing down in Wicklow.
Well, it is. You know, even though, as probably a lot of people have noticed, in the last, this summer so far, generally, it's been quite cold and quite wet.
Yes.
A lot of people have been getting in touch with me and saying that they're sort of worried about insect populations. Because I guess people have heard about this gradual sort of insect decline, which is happening all over Europe, all over Ireland. But that's not the cause of this shorter. It's just weather has been bad. Uh-huh. It's been cold. So insect populations are used to that. They're adapted to sort of, you know, small amounts surviving in maybe a bad summer, but next summer they can be back in droves again. That's just sort of the way they work. So hopefully, you know, if we get a week of sunshine, it'll all change.
And just remind people, because I saw that wonderful programme you made about rewilding or wilding a plot of land down in Wicklow.
That's right. Well, it was a programme I made called The Wild Gardener, and they just had a 1 acre site down there. And the idea was very much sort of a very different kind of garden, because it was based on native plants alone, because native plants are really the key to biodiversity. The more native plants you have, the more different kinds of insects you have, because there's very close relationships between plants and insects. So although you'll see lots of bees and things and butterflies in a more sort of traditional garden, they often won't be breeding there. They're just visiting there. It's like going to a local fast food joint or something, uh-huh. Getting lots of pollen and nectar and then heading off.
Now, the big news for our listeners is that a plant that they probably see as the baddie of the garden is the one that attracts butterflies.
Well, yes, nettles. Right. I think you might be. And nettles in the sunshine. People say to me, well, I've got nettles, you know, growing in my ditch. It doesn't get any sun. Well, they say, well, they're not particularly important. And in fact, I did an experiment in my front field last year where there were several patches of nettles. And around this time of year, I cut half them down.
Right.
And thinking that the new growth might attract the butterflies. And just the way you and I like the freshest salad leaves, I thought, would the butterflies? Well, about 2 weeks later, there were several thousand caterpillars on the nettles I had cut and not one on the old nettles. So they love the freshest.
So you cut them halfway,
leaves.
Was it?
Yeah, and just even more.
Right, right.
And as soon as they started regenerating the new growth, because if you look around at this time of year, a lot of the nettles look pretty sort of old and draggled and a bit stale. Once you cut them and that new growth comes up, that's what the butterflies want, because the parent butterfly, it wants to lay its eggs on the leaf, which has optimal sort of nutrition for its young. Mm. And also in the sunshine, because when the sun is shining and it's warm, that caterpillar can continue to feed, because they're little little solar panels. They need the sun to operate or warm to operate.
So now, on your acre there, how many types of butterfly do you reckon you
have? Oh, gosh, that's a good... I would say passing through maybe 15 or maybe more. Now, you see, butterflies have flight period. So you get one will fly from maybe, you know, middle of April till the end of May. Another one might be around. So a lot of insects have these what they call flight periods. So they won't all be there at one time. And like this year, I was hoping to have lots of orange tip butterflies like I had last year, because I had all the little plant that they need, which is called lady smock or cuckoo flower. That's where they lay their eggs. But this year was just a wipeout for orange tip butterflies. It was just too cold.
Uh-huh.
But somehow they will have bred someplace and they'll be back.
Isn't nature amazing that they have sort of taken to a particular plant, which is a native plant, and they don't take to exotic plants that we import from other countries? But if they're in their native land, they probably have butterflies that use them.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that
this is a really ridiculous question, Colin, but how do they know?
Well, it's about, well, they know what plant it is because, well, I just like, I suppose, the way we know something that's edible or not,
right,
it's built
yes.
into their DNA to find, to sort of smell it, like butterflies taste with their feet. They land and they'll know the plant is around someplace, and you'll see them fluttering down and landing. They suddenly find a nice little warm leaf and they go, this is the one,
right.
And immediately start egg laying.
Uh-huh. They're beautiful to see. And I can't remember the last one I saw in my garden, so I'm doing something wrong. But we do have a bush with loads of bees. It's alive with bees.
Yeah, well, a lot of exotic plants too are great for bees. A lot of adult insects, butterflies, bees, will go to any flower that supplies nectar and pollen. The thing is, their babies will only eat specific plants, and they're normally the native ones.
Okay.
That's where the native sort of comes in. So people say, oh, I've got loads of stuff in my garden. I say, yes, but I wasn't born there.
Okay, so we've done the butterflies. How about getting more bees into the back garden then?
Bees. Well, we've got about 100 different kinds of bees in Ireland. Only one honeybee. We've got about 20 20 different kinds of bumblebees, and the rest are solitary bees, that bees that literally live their own independent lives. They don't live in a hive of any sort. So if you want to get some of those things into your garden, there are some that nest, most nest underground.
Hold on now. I just assumed that all bees lived in hives.
No, no, very much not. That would be the rarity in bees, actually. Most bees live on their own. And so what will happen is they live quite lonely lives, really. Many times they're born in, at this time of year now, the relief cutter bees have just come out, the most beautiful little creatures. And they're sheltering my little bee hotel at the moment. I've got one of these little bee hotels, and on the wet days, you can see their little faces looking out rather forlornly at the rain falling down, waiting that it will pass and they can get out and explore the garden. But the bee hotel is a great thing to have in your garden. And what they do, they fly out and they love nettle leaves in particular. And they'll take these little semicircular cuts out of nettles. Then they'll fly back to their individual little holes with these leaves.
Yeah.
And they'll get several of them. And then they'll go and collect pollen. And they'll stitch up the leaves with the pollen inside. And they will lay a single egg in there. And basically, once they've done that, once they've filled up a few cells, both the parents, the males and females, will die off. And so for most of the year, maybe 10 and a half months of the year, leafcutter bees exist just as little larvae or pupae inside those holes.
Now, that might be a little project if you have little people at home for the summer and you're trying to entertain them.
Little people or big people. It's very entertaining for big people too.
Yeah, so you describe it, it's as simple as drilling a hole in a piece of wood, is it?
It is, really. If you've got something like a log or a bit of a log and you just get the right size drill bit, you know, the different drill bits for different types of bees, but you can look that up easily on the net, and you just drill in holes that are about 6 inches long into that piece of wood, and they make perfect little places for these bees to...
And they'll find them.
Oh, they'll find them. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They'll find them quickly too. If they're around, they'll find them.
Right. That's going to stay with me for the weekend now, because every time it rains, I'm going to be thinking about the little loner bees looking out at the bad weather from your bee hotel. Ah, poor little bees. They can't even play Monopoly.
They can do very little, but at least I don't think the brains are that sophisticated. Well, they are. At one level, they know exactly what they're doing, but they're not particularly sophisticated creatures.
Well, thanks so much for telling us how to bring bees and butterflies back into our gardens. Colin Stafford-Johnson, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Thanks, Colin. Thanks
a lot.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.